reality that only 20% of the world are aware of. But seriously, I really mention it because as I sit here at 37,000 feet over mainland Turkey on a Monarch Airlines flight to Manchester, England, it's happened again. The universe has put on a little show for me, as if to demonstrate in undeniable clarity the importance of the message in this book. Normally, I will book upgraded seats with extra legroom and space to work. Unfortunately, on this occasion, I left it too late. And when it came to book, the only ticket I could get was a mid-row economy seat. Now look, hey, I'm no snob. It doesn't bother me, usually, to fly capital class. As long as I can pull out the laptop and get some words down, I am happy. I was the third person on this aircraft tonight, and I quickly stowed my case in the overhead bin to clear the aisle for the other boarding passengers. I made myself comfortable in 10B aboard the Airbus 300. Seat A has the window, and 10C has the aisle next to me. It's not ideal, and I won't lie to you. I've been saying a little prayer that the two people who board next and sit next to me are a very slight frame indeed. I watched over 150 passengers walk through the main door of the aircraft, and I was starting to get excited. Nobody had thus far sat next to me. Dare I dream that I was going to get an entire row to myself? The only thing containing my giddiness was an underlying niggle about why, if the other seats were unassigned, why would I be made to sit mid-row? But things were looking promising. 3 minutes until the scheduled departure time flashed up on my watch, and I would officially be in business class heaven, but at economy prices. No such luck. As I pulled out the laptop and opened this document so that it would be ready to be flipped open directly as the fasten seatbelt sign was turned off, the final two passengers boarded. And I'm pretty sure the plane tilted a little as they stepped on board. You've seen Shrek the movie, right? Okay, so these passengers weren't green, or technically ogres, but I think they qualify for the monster category. 2 6-foot-5 giant, red-faced Scottish guys lumbered onto the plane, each one weighing in excess of 300 pounds in weight. I'm currently sandwiched between them, typing this with one finger. It's the only part of my body that will still move. Now, I hope you appreciate the massive personal risk that I'm taking by writing this, with each one of them clearly being able to read my words. Seriously, I am typing this section as fast as I have ever typed anything in my life, in the desperation that these words disappear above the fold of the page before they notice. The universe has one serious sense of humour. While I wrote Alcohol Lied to Me, I was pestered continually with offers of free booze. And here I am starting work on Fat Guy Friday, and I can barely see around the two giant guts that mean I have technically a restricted view seat of my own laptop. You know what? I don't think I even needed this visual reminder of why this story needs telling, but someone out there obviously thinks differently. So despite the pain and the fact that I can no longer feel my left shoulder, I am truly grateful for the lesson that I am being taught in this moment. Now, if you're significantly overweight, you may be a little nervous at this moment, worried about my colourful description of the two passengers who've kindly rendered my need for a seatbelt obsolete. You may feel that my comments are a little harsh, and perhaps even judgmental. If you've read some of my other books, you may even feel such jibes are so at odds with my other work that you begin to question if this is even Craig Beck writing this. But let me assure you, it is. The truth is, I think society needs to change its opinion of what obesity is. I think that we should confront our failings head on and not hide behind a political correctness that almost insists that we embrace our fat friends as being innocent victims of their own genetics. This is not true. Obesity is not a disease. It is not contracted or passed on. For this reason, I believe instead of tiptoeing around the language we use in the presence of a larger person, we should smile and reassure them that they are needlessly lugging around all this weight when it can be dumped with the smallest of change in lifestyle and thinking. Naturally, this course of action, quite rightly, runs the significant risk of receiving a swift punch to the face, or worse. The Western world's obsession with being politically correct is making a disease out of something that is just simply a mistake. We're encouraged to make a pantomime-style, "Oh," sound when we see a fat person come waddling down the street towards us. We're supposed to join the pity party and nod in sage agreement, as we're told, "It's not my fault. I hardly eat anything." Or, "Yeah, with me, it's entirely genetic. My parents were both big. What chance have I got?" There are a